Looking for some new art inspired by the national parks? Then be sure to check out our online store, The Gaze Shop.
This season, as we explore the landscapes of Olympic National Park, Mount Rainier National Park, Carlsbad Cavern National Park, and Guadalupe Mountains National Park, we've got some new items and designs coming your way.
Introducing our Olympic National Park and Mount Rainier National Park posters. These 12 by 18 posters make a great addition to any home or office, or a great gift for any lover of the national parks, even if that national parks lover is you.
Whether it's art for your wall or a sticker for your water bottle, you're sure to find something that sparks your love of the outdoors. Visit shop.gazeatthenationalparks.com to bring some of the national parks home with you. As we inch towards the end of 2024, what travel goals do you have that you haven't yet met?
And furthermore, what travel goals do you have for 2025?
While we always have a healthy dose of national park travel on the horizon in any given year, this year I'm definitely planning to visit friends in Europe.
And don't forget, we have a pretty incredible trip to Iceland coming up this December, so we're both bound for European shores.
That's right, and thankfully, there's one travel guidebook company we can always look toward for all our travel needs.
From our hikes, to hotels, to the best spots to eat, Moon Travel has you covered.
From excellent first-hand experience from authors who are local to the areas they're writing about, to wonderful maps and great recommendations, Moon Travel Guides give the reader so much more than other travel guides on the market.
That's right, and we are so excited that this year we are again partnering with Moon Travel Guides.
Through this partnership, through the end of 2024, our listeners can get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when they use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's code GAZE24, GAZE24, for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library. Head to our show notes and check it out to see Moon's entire collection of guidebooks, and also see it at moon.com.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips, but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel Guides has you covered.
Head to moon.com before December 31st, 2024, and use code GAZE24, again, that's GAZE24, at checkout to open up the world of possibilities for your next trip.
Moon Travel. Let your heart be your compass. Let Moon be your guide.
Let's talk about beach hiking.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we have done some, like a decent chunk of beach hiking, or at least hiking on sand.
Hiking on sand. I mean, we have.
Which is not that different from beach hiking.
No.
It can be, though.
I'm thinking of, obviously, Indiana Dunes National Park. I'm thinking of Gateway Recreational Area.
I said Gateway Arch.
Here in New Jersey, which is also an MPS site.
Yeah.
Sandy Hook. We have a trail mix about that. Mm-hmm. We also hiked on sand in
Great Sand Dunes.
Mm-hmm. I'm also thinking of other beach hikes. I mean, I guess technically a beach hike would be Acadia, though there was less sand.
Well, there is Sand Beach.
There is Sand Beach where there is sand.
There is a stretch that we did cross. That's basically
sand. It was short.
It was short, short-lived sand hiking.
Yes, yeah. But there is that.
Yeah. I tend to really love beach hiking. I mean, I think it's also just having grown up with the beach right here. It just feels very natural. This is where you come for me for privilege.
No, I also grew up near the beach. I can't say anything.
I know. You were just as much of a stone's throw away.
However, the difference is that New Jersey water is in most places like very beautiful and very easy to swim in.
Right.
Whereas
in season,
the Gulf of Mexico water is disgusting.
Very still.
Oh, well, it's because the barrier islands, especially there on like the Mississippi Gulf Coast, are there, and like they keep everything inside. So like, you know,
just
everything
like
gets
me,
stuck.
Repressing everything.
In between.
All the sadness.
Exactly.
Yeah. Swallow it down.
And all the locals know to not swim in that water.
Yeah. I did swim in the Gulf. No, it wasn't great.
So sorry.
I know.
That's probably why you have, you know, your intestinal issues.
Oh, great. Thanks.
That's why.
Put me on blast. Yep, I've got the Gulf intestinal disorder.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yep. I mean, joke about it for long enough and it might be real.
It's true. I know. But no, I love beach hiking. It's definitely more rewarding than, I mean, Indiana Dunes is beach hiking too. It's sand, but it is beach. You have shoreline, not ocean shoreline, but it might as well be an ocean. It's
right.
Freaking giant inland lakes. But I don't know. There's something very calming about it. There's like the negative ions of salt air.
Oh, yeah.
Like also are very good for you and your body.
Yeah.
So I think there's just like a calm feeling that comes with it. Even like you and I have taken just long boardwalks here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is sort of like when we can't hike, it's sort of like, let's go to the beach and just do a really long walk. And it's nice.
Let's talk about what you wear on your feet when you hike on sand or when you walk on sand. Because I find that like most of the time during the summer, when going to the beach, the sand is entirely too hot for the bottom of my feet.
Not if you're by the water.
Not if you're right by the water, but you have to often enter not right by the water.
Sure.
So like it's scorching. And so I see these people who walk up and take their shoes off and then just like walk through the sand barefoot. And I'm like, how are you not burning the bottom of your feet right now?
Well, they walk on hot coals for a living.
Well,
apparently.
maybe I just have like very delicate palms of my feet.
Palms of your feet. My delicate palms.
The delicate palms of my feet.
Sure. Maybe. I feel like I will often be
in shoes at all times.
I don't know. I feel like I must be a coal walker then.
I think you are.
I do have calloused feet.
Maybe you do.
Just like my soul.
There it is.
Calloused.
Looking for adventure, I want to follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun. There's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real, you can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national park. At the national park. At the national park. Follow you, I'll follow you there.
We would like to acknowledge that while hiking and exploring the land also known as Olympic National Park, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lower Elwha, the Tlalum, Jamestown Tlalum, Port Gamble Tlalum, Skokomish, Quinault, Ho, Quileute, and Macaw people.
So we are in Olympic National Park.
We are. Settle in. We're here for a while.
We are here for a while.
And
there's a lot of hikes in Olympic.
Get to Olympic.
Please get to Olympic. Mm-hmm. What a special place.
Mm-hmm.
I was just saying before we were recording this, I was like, thus far, I think Olympic takes the crown for me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I think this episode shows why, because of the gamut that is run when it comes to hikes in Olympic National Park.
Sure, sure.
We were visiting Olympic in the summer of 2023. We stayed in two different places. Olympic is huge and there's
giant.
So much driving.
Yes.
So we were staying in two different places. The first Airbnb we stayed in was sort of in the north central part of Olympic National Park, and that was Port Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
That helped us get to hikes in that area and also on the east side a little bit easier.
Yep, I stayed when I visited in 2015. This is exactly where I stayed. But unlike what we did, I drove everywhere from Port Angeles,
which
was
a lot.
A lot of driving, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this day, we had just come off of hiking many things. The first hike we did was
Shady Lane and Staircase.
And then on the same day, we did
Mount Eleanor.
And then the next day, we did
Klahani Ridge.
And I have to say, word to the wise and advice, don't hike Mount Eleanor and Klahani Ridge
back to back
on two consecutive days.
We were tired, girls.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. That is, both of those will smack you in the face.
Yeah.
Mount Eleanor, maybe a little more so.
Yeah.
And woof.
Yeah.
Woof, woof, woof.
Yeah.
So we're exhausted.
We are.
And we are now heading over to another part of Olympic National Park this day.
Yes, we will be heading to the west side, where we will kind of be doing most of the rest of our time in Olympic. There is a section of the park that we definitely missed that was recommended, which is Solduck.
Yeah.
It's just something to go back to,
yeah,
for sure. I wouldn't mind going to Olympic for a third time.
Let's go.
But we did take an early morning exit from Port Angeles because we weren't able to get into our new accommodations until later in the afternoon. So our plan was to sort of do some things and hike in the early part of the day. So we packed the car, got everything set the night before for whatever we would need in our hiking bags, our day bags. And we just were kind of feeling the tireds.
That's right.
We definitely had our frosty and french fry moment post Klahani Ridge. And then I think we were back early enough. Like, there was light in the sky, lots of
light,
where we just vegged out for the rest of the day. It was sort of like we needed the rest. We knew we had a heavy itinerary for the next several days. This day sort of was kind of like our rest day.
Hilarious.
The insanity of that.
Hilarious.
But it truly was, because the following day was even more bonkers. We'll get there eventually. We basically wanted to leave early because we wanted to make sure that we had enough time to do everything we needed to do.
And since we're hike early, hike often people, our favorite things to do in the morning is literally just get up, eat, and leave.
Yeah.
And so that means we got to do all the prep the night before.
Yep.
So we do get in after being very tired, and then we do prep everything for the next day.
Yep.
It's a good practice. On this day, we were planning to do two hikes, Cape Flattery and Shishai Beach, which are over on the west side.
Like, so, the top corner of the peninsula, essentially.
Correct. So we drive in the car all the way over to the west side to Cape Flattery. It takes almost 2 hours to get over there. And it's a lot of winding roads, but it also comes with quite a few ocean views on the drive over.
Yeah.
I do have to say, none of the driving in Olympic National Park was ever
boring.
Never. Oh my God, it was wonderful.
There was scenery for days.
Scenery for days.
Yeah.
You'd get like great views of like mountain range. Then you get great views of ocean. You get great views of like parts of rainforest.
Yeah.
It's
and forest
incredible.
In general.
And the forests there are unlike forests I've ever seen anywhere else. Which is precisely, I think, why Stephanie Meyer was so inspired.
Sure, she was. We'll get there eventually, too. So, unfortunately, we did not have the best car experience on this trip. And this would come back around to our benefit, I guess, later on when we return the car. But we had a car that we got in very late at night at the airport in Seattle. It kind of had a weird smell. And then we weren't really sure, but we were so tired and we knew we had a long drive that we just kind of dealt with it. And then after it sitting in the sun for a few days, it smelled like cigarettes and it wasn't really the most appealing thing to be in that car. But we also had an issue as we're driving to Cape Flattery with air in the tire. We had the tire pressure monitor came on and was like, you need to fill this with air immediately. And we're like, are you freaking kidding me?
We sort of got into a cycle with this car of like filling it up with air, even though there wasn't, we would check it and the air would be okay. And then, then the air was down a little bit. And then anyway, we had to fill the tire up with air on the way over. But we did finally get to the place for the Cape Flattery hike. Now, this was a short hike. It was a 1.2 mile there and back. I mean, we're talking short. This is a great short hike.
Oh, my God.
And so this is why we were saying that this was our rest day, because we were doing short hikes on this day. And also, people who do the Cape Flattery hike also go and do Shishai Beach often.
Right.
They pair those often together.
Very close to one another.
So we were going to do that, too.
Yeah.
So this was where we were headed, and we finally got there, and we parked. And there was a horrific bathroom situation at this parking lot.
Right. It was definitely like horror movie bathroom, would you say?
Honestly, like, I think I've blocked it out because like we have the notes here and I'm like, yeah, I vaguely remember this.
I mean, you would be the bathroomer, not me.
I don't. I guess whatever monster was in there, like, also took my memory.
Yeah, apparently.
We park, we gear up, and we get ready to go. And again, this is considered a hike, and there is a little bit of hiking involved, but it's more like walking out to viewing platforms is what's going on here at Cape Flattery.
Before we get going on the hike, it's worth knowing that this section of the Olympic Peninsula is not Olympic National Park space. It is on the Macaw Reservation. And something that one should do and one needs to do is essentially get like a day permit for hiking. We were there early enough that we did not encounter anyone to buy this. In fact, I think what ended up happening was we realized after we had parked and read the sign that we needed to do this. It's an orange pass that's $20 that would allow us to also access Shy Shy Beach as well. But we did see a lot of people that were driving with the pass, and we were glad that we were able to put the money where it needed to go eventually. As we start the hike, there is a sign and a giant Adirondack chair with Neah Bay on it. As we begin the trail here, it's a pretty gentle slope on the way down, but it is a little damp and it's a little slick here. And it's a very wide path, and it kind of leads us into some what feel like rainforesty sections, although we won't really experience the temperate rainforest in earnest until we head to Ho Rainforest.
And please note that rainforests come in different shapes and sizes, and do go listen to our trail mix on rainforests and all of their different kinds of
qualities, environments, and whatnot.
Because if you go to Olympic National Park expecting tropical rainforest, you will be met with a temperate rainforest.
Yes,
which is also so beautiful in its own unique and interesting and fascinating way.
Yes.
So we eventually hit some boardwalks on this hike. There are lots of boardwalks in Olympic, and what's beautiful about them is they've been there a while, so there's like some growth over them, and it's like
you were living your life
super
here.
Picturesque. Yeah. Oh, fully living life. Mm-hmm. Fully living life. They're large cedar planks. It is a little bit slick, so we were glad to have our boots on.
This is definitely not a hike to do sneakers in.
We
like
hike
like on boardwalks here. It's really recommended to have your boots because it will help your traction.
Yeah.
And sneakers can definitely be a little slick.
Yeah.
So
There were already quite a few people here this morning.
Yeah.
On the way out, the boardwalk changed a little back and forth to like some gravel pathways, and there would be a little more boardwalk. And then as we got closer to the water, the feeling did start to feel a little more tropical.
Right. Yeah. It did have that feel to it. It definitely felt like you were winding through just the land of the elves, and like an elf would just pop out at any moment to be like, I'm headed to the Grey Havens.
That's your fantasy.
That is my fantasy, is elf fantasy.
Yes. There are now a little more steps involved with the boardwalk as we continue out toward these ocean viewpoints. And this is also a hike where you can bring dogs.
And there were a lot
quite
of dogs.
A few of them.
It was like dog parade.
Complaining? We love a dog parade.
Mushy faces
dog
on display.
Parade. Right. So we finally come upon this tree that's got like really wide branches, and they're on the side of the boardwalk, which takes us to the first viewing platform over to the left.
So this is where we really get to see shoreline in hiking situations for the first time.
Yes. Here in Olympic. We've seen shoreline while hiking before, but yes.
But this is where we're getting sea stacks, exposed rocks,
coves.
We get to see out into the ocean.
Water.
It is wild
like
coastline.
Lapping up against rock, lapping up against boulders, sea stacks, trees growing out of them, all of that picturesque, beautiful stuff that you always see in photographs of
birds.
So many birds.
You were living your bird life too.
This was where sort of the birding moment for me at least started here while we were there, because I was fully birding by this point.
Yeah.
And I had my...
Your Merlin app, your binoculars, your
and
camera.
My camera with me, and I was able to get some really great photos.
Yeah.
I got this really stunning photo of a robin with a berry in its mouth on this hike. I'll be sharing that on our Insta and such. But a lot of really great birds in Olympic constantly.
Yeah.
And so loving it.
So we continue on boardwalk and we head to the next viewing area and have more views, but this time it's on the right. And this is really cool because there are these giant kind of like sea caves here. You're seeing the edge of like this land, essentially, and there are these sweeping arms of rock coming from like the mainland that are creating these deep sea caves. And
yeah,
it
or
is
coves.
Bird crazy
like it's
over
coves
here.
That have become caves, and there's a lot of waterfowl here.
It's wild.
A lot of cool birds I'd never seen before. Super cool. And this viewing area, it has an upper section and a lower section. There is this one bird we saw. It was this long-necked blackbird, and then there was this other like bright orange-footed blackbird. I mean, I was living.
You were.
And so we make our way from here to the last viewing platform. And this is where we see Tatoosh Island, which is a famous island, and it's also got a lighthouse on it.
And it's out from Cape Flattery, so it's a point like directly out, so you're able to see. This is the widest viewing platform. We ended up having this couple that was there as well, and we took a photo for them, and they were trying to basically match the exact same shot that we took of them. And you know.
Sure, sure. Just going to say this, everybody. We've said it before, back in the day, before we had phones that took great photos, selfies weren't a thing, and now they are. And I think we could all stand to take a hair more consideration when it comes to photography and angles and things to
be flattering.
Take flattering photos of other people.
On Cape Flattery, why not be flattering?
Why not, right?
Do you remember taking photos with a digital camera, like selfies? Like, I feel like that's when selfies
yes.
really started, because it was like,
and then
it's
you
digital,
yeah.
and I can just get rid of this file.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
not like I'm wasting film. That was like, oh.
And you had to use your thumb.
Yeah.
right. I mean, we still use our thumb to take selfies, but anyway. So we are headed off of this because we have taken in all of what Cape Flattery has to offer.
Which is great. It's so short, but it is so
worth
it.
Because it's like only 0.7 miles
yeah.
out, and then we're taking it back. So we start to make our return.
As we hike back, we stop at the second viewing platform, and then the first, just to kind of like have another section of views. We do end up taking photos on the first viewing platform with another couple. That this platform is a little bit more in the trees, and you're seeing off of the, on the way out, the left side, on the way back, the right side. So not seeing the sea caves that we were seeing where all the birds were. We do end up getting up at past the boardwalk, and we are on some incline here. So there was gentle decline on the way down. This is definitely
on the
incline,
way out.
On the way out. It's inclined to go back. And it is slick because it is very damp here. And we end up, as we're hiking, meeting a cattle dog named Libby, the cattle dog.
Oh, my God. Libby was cute. Mm-hmm. Libby was a cute dog. So we're walking back to the car. And we originally thought that from here we were going to go do Ozette Triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the plan.
Right.
But we get back in the car, put our gear in there, and then we head off. Mm-hmm. And on the way out, that's when we run into the staff member of the Macaw Reservation
right.
who's selling permits. So we stopped to buy one. And we had just been at Cape Flattery, so we wanted to buy the Cape Flattery permit. And he shared that, oh, well, this permit actually gets you on to Shy Shy Beach as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like, oh, well, let's just do that today.
Right. And that's exactly where we headed next. And with that, let's take our first break.
Hey, y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right. It's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across two separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season 1 is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala, all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio, and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails! During the months of November and December, we are highlighting the work of Native Like Water in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Founded over 24 years ago in San Diego, California, Native Like Water was launched to focus on and practice with indigenous sacred relationships to water. Native Like Water programs work towards solutions and sustainability of our life force. The organization prepares and reintegrates teens and young adults into ocean recreation, conservation, wellness, and intergenerational cultural self-exploration.
With programming like Youth Native Scholars, YNS, and Intertribal Youth, ITY, Native Like Water has helped to develop and implement academic, wellness, and cultural programs for Native American, Alaska Natives, and Native Hawaiians, as well as youth from various nations. Native Like Water has programming which is open to a greater public, curating cultural experiences through an indigenous lens with a focus on cultural conservation and natural habitat.
Native Like Water is committed to not only education, but also working to enrich the lives of others. Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help support Native Like Water this November and December. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information or by visiting www.nativelikewater.org. All right, we're playing One Letter Change.
Wonderful.
In this, we're creating a two-word phrase. There's one letter change in between the two words. We play this on the trail all the time. And the first one is an inventory of branches that have maybe fallen to the ground or are in small pieces.
Is twig one of the word?
No.
Okay.
What's another word for branch?
Limb?
Word that when you pick it up off the ground.
Stick.
Inventory.
What is a stick stock?
That's right.
Stick stock. It's mm-hmm. the tree. It's the social media app for plants where you make videos.
What's there you go. Stick stock. Or it's like what you use to cook with if you really mm-hmm. want the taste of sticks.
Yeah, I love sticks.
Yeah.
All right, great. This is your mighty mind, or your mind having might, I should say.
Is brain one of the words?
It is, yeah.
Oh, I'm struggling. Is brain the first word?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Think of another word for might.
Strength?
It also could be a paper towel brand.
Bounty.
The other one.
Charmin?
No. Starts with a B.
Oh. Brain brawn.
That's right. You got that brain brawn.
Got that brain brawn. Okay, great. If an atlas came in the mail once a month, or was on a stand on the side of the street that you could buy, and it also had lots of editorial photos in it.
Is magazine one of the words?
It is, but it's the short form of that word.
What's a mag?
Yeah.
Okay. What's a lag mag?
Not a lag mag. An atlas is a book of what?
Maps. A map mag.
There you go.
Great. And this is a white feathered friend that is not in its pen, that honks.
Is swan one of the words?
Mm-mm.
Goose?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's a loose goose.
That's right. That's what you are.
A loose goose.
Mm-hmm. And that's one letter change. All right. So after picking up the permit on the road, which was convenient that we happened to have cash on us, which I feel like is very odd these days, we ended up heading towards Shai Beach. So we use the route which we have plugged into our phone, to our GPS, and it takes us in a very strange route, like to a point where we start heading down a dirt road yep. that is not where we're supposed to be going. Like,
well,
and there's no yeah. way to turn around. Like, it's a one-lane dirt road with grass growing in the middle, dirt where yeah. someone would drive.
This was definitely something we had to load onto the phone
right.
or get going on the phone
right.
before we left the spot on the road where we bought the permit.
Right.
Because we, yeah, we were heading into sort of just
dead zone of,
you know,
cell phone
service dead zone and whatnot. But we headed into this dirt road and there was a sign, but we didn't see the sign and we did turn the wrong way. And then we did have to like K turn our way out of it and come back and go around. And then we ended up heading in the right direction. And then we found the Shai Shai Beach Trailhead, which was a very small parking lot.
Yeah.
And there were already a few cars there.
Yeah. This is a little later. And I mean, it's like still morning, but it's a little later morning now. We did thankfully have one of our moon travel books with us that did help us to kind of clarify some directions, because there was some confusion there when it came to the phone even. We gear up here and the hike is one that you don't necessarily need poles for, but you do need boots.
And this is a 9-mile there and back trail. So as you can see,
our rest day.
This is our rest day and we're doing what, 10.75?
Sure.
I think.
Yeah.
10.2 at least. A good deal of this hike is on the Macaw Reservation land. Yeah. And then about the other half of the hike is on the beach, which is part of Olympic National Park.
Mm-hmm.
But this trailhead to get to the beach is the best way to see this beach.
Yeah.
And we were told, don't miss Shai Shai Beach.
Right.
And we were like, okay, great. So we head off. What we do know about this trail, the first 2.2 miles is going to be trail forest. The next 2.3 miles is going to be on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And that, we did hear that there were some sea stacks at the end. We do head off onto this trail into the first section, which is the forested section.
Right. This is very lovely, but it is very, very muddy. So not initially, but it is a hike where boots are, again, as we said, something you want to be in. Could hiking poles be helpful? Yeah. But we see some people ahead of us that have set off. And this is, again, a pretty decent forest hike. We cross some plank bridges and wind our way further along. There's a lot of ferns here. I mean, this is like typical Olympic kind of temperate rainforest forest land.
Absolutely. We do have our bags with us on this one. We didn't for Cape Flattery.
Right.
This one we do have our full packs.
Yeah. We do pass a bunch of people that are on their way out, which looks like they had camped the night somewhere because they were fully geared up. They had like a full hiking bag. And there is lots and lots of boardwalk here on this initial trail.
So we get to this one section of the trail that has an A-frame bridge. And it is. It goes like up and then down. Mm-hmm. And it's got handrails built into it. So you can grab on and steady yourself as you go up and down. But you go straight up and down the A-frame. We see a group of other hikers who are about to attempt this A-frame bridge. And they're wearing flip-flops.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's what I'll say. There are some times where it's like, oh, it's super muddy and I'm going to a beach. I'll just wear flip-flops because I don't care. I don't think this hike is that journey.
No.
I think this hike is like, wear your boots the whole time.
Yeah.
If you intend to get to the beach and like take your boots off, great. But I'm so glad I had my boots on for all this mud.
We're not there yet, but there's also a considerable descent and later ascent. So I feel like having boots is the way to go.
I would not want
to
wear flip-flops on this trail.
I think they ended up turning around to go get other footwear. There was like a lot of conversation about
that far.
Being like, God, we don't have the right... They had nothing
on
with them either. They didn't have like water or whatnot.
No.
But we ended up climbing over the bridge. We keep moving along and there's more boardwalk and it looks like this trail has been lined with weed control fabric, which we had never seen before. It was definitely really weird considering like it didn't feel like in the spirit of what a hike is. It felt like very manicured.
Yes.
Here. We climb over a log on the path and this is where
it gets
real muddy.
Yeah. So it gets really muddy in this section and the edges of the trail are like sloppy and wet. And very glad to have on boots. There also seems to be another trail through the woods along the side of this main muddy trail.
Well, I think it's what people have created as a desire path to avoid
slogging
through the mud,
right,
which
right.
makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
We found out about this very dramatically because we were walking and then suddenly we heard someone breathe over to the side. It was like a cough or a breath or something. Yeah. We were like, oh, we thought it was a wild animal. Right. It was a person.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that this was Mike jumping out of his skin.
This
and
is
running.
Where we are like, okay, it seems like the offshoots are going to be the way to navigate most of this. Like, you can stay on the main path. You just have to be mindful of where you're stepping. And there were ways around some of the larger areas of mud. But there were some times where it just didn't make sense. And there was a path cut to the side. So I feel like we moved very quickly on those offshoots. And trying to slog through the mud would have taken so much more time.
Absolutely. And so we finally eventually pass this mud and pass this forested section. And we finally see the sign for the national park.
Right.
And we can finally see the beach
right
off to the right. And with that, let's take our next break. It's time for Drag Corner.
That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage.
Honey Bucket.
Honey Bucket.
Mm-hmm.
God, I love this name.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if we wanted to reference Keeping Up Appearances, the British sitcom, her last name was Bucket, but she always pronounced it Bouquet.
Yeah.
So she could be Honey Bouquet. It's
Honey
just
Bouquet.
Spelled Bucket. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. I kind of like Bucket as the last name. Honey Bucket.
Honey Bucket.
So who is Honey Bucket?
Who is Honey Bucket? I don't know. She has a very strong Ellie Mae Clampett vibe for me.
Really? I feel like the Honey Bucket is like what gets passed around for her tips at her shows.
Sure.
So put some dollars mm-hmm. in the Honey Bucket.
Like, I feel like she has a Ellie Mae Clampett, but also Dolly Parton vibe. Like, it's that sort
of
like...
She's going to take care of you.
But I'm a country singer. Like,
yes.
I'm a country drag queen.
That's
for
right.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like the idea of her passing around this bucket. I feel like wherever she performs, there are also buckets of peanuts on the table for people
to
just
like
eat
that.
And throw the shells on the ground.
I like that.
Like,
I think
Texas
she's got original music.
Okay.
She's got a band.
Like, great.
Every show kind of feels like the Grand Ole Opry, and she's got a band, and she's, you know.
So she's like a big name.
She's doing it.
She's doing
and
it.
I think, like, passing around the honey bucket is like an event,
mm-hmm.
like, and maybe I don't know like what makes it an event each time, but it feels very much like passing around the collection plate.
Sure. Okay. So it's very religious.
From the religious.
From the Roman Catholic tradition.
Tradition. Correct.
The
but
collection
yeah.
plate or basket. Mm-hmm. Or
but
bucket.
I feel like she's super, like, I think her humor comes from the fact that she has all the bells and whistles and makes of like a Dolly Parton and a singer and kind of like a, we're gathering here and we're loving each other, but the songs are just so funny. Like mm-hmm. they're that, I think the humor is
it's
in the lyrics.
Comedy
of the song.
Country.
It's comedy country. I think that's who Honey Bucket is, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And kind and sweet, but so mm-hmm. funny, right?
Yeah.
Probably her humor is more in observational humor in self-deprecation. I don't see her to be like an insult comedy
sure.
queen. I think
because sure.
she's kind and sweet,
mm-hmm.
like honey.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I also think her merch is she makes her own honey. Like she's a
okay.
beekeeper.
Great beekeeper on the side. That mm-hmm. tracks. I feel like that's good.
And the honey is in its own tiny little bucket-shaped vessel.
I like that.
So get yourself a little honey bucket on the way out
mm-hmm.
and bring it home.
So,
for your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage
Miss Honey Bucket. I'm not going to lie. I really love that queen.
Yeah,
I really love
good.
Honey Bucket. She's
I really,
great.
I really want there to be, and you might be like, let me list them. I feel like, where is the drag star that has ascended to pop music stardom? That is like a
Trixie Mattel. Like Trixie Mattel absolutely has a whole country pop life.
But I feel like, is a chart topper. I mean, like, yes, very niche. Like, I want someone
she's
who's doing
made
drag
it to the top of the
that
charts.
Is like Gaga, Chappell Roan,
sure.
Jessie Ware-esque. I want someone that big.
Sure. No,
that's
I
what
know.
I want.
I
and
know.
We don't have that yet.
Yeah. I think it's coming. I think we'll have it soon. I mean, RuPaul, a lot of RuPaul's
sure.
music has made it to the top of the charts.
Sure. But, so. Like, not a consistent musician. Like, I want someone to have been a drag superstar and then is like, yeah, I'm going to do drag, but I'm not doing drag shows anymore. I'm a performer that is
doing Mm-hmm.
That's what I
think
want.
It's coming. Okay. We got to support and go to their shows.
Yeah. So
back to Shai Shai Beach. So we're standing here at the entrance to the beach, and immediately we are met with switchbacks.
Descent.
And so there is some, and it's fairly steep descent down these switchbacks onto beach level. So we take them, and
they're like long. And they're long switchbacks.
And we notice that there's places here where people will camp. Like, not on the switchbacks, but down below. There's sort of like some vegetation that we have to cross through to get to the actual beach proper. Mm-hmm. And then there's like some area behind the vegetation, and that's where the camping's happening.
Well, and here's an important thing, and you'll hear all about this in my neuroses in a later episode. You can definitely camp on beaches in Olympic. You know, you obviously have to do the work to get the permits to do what you need to do. A thing you really need to consider is the tides. And again, you will hear more about my neuroses on this later. But as Dusty was saying, like, yeah, you can get onto the beach, but you don't want to necessarily sleep right on the beach. And
where the tides will come in and
wash you out to sea. So things to think about. So we get down to the bottom. There are, in the trees and bushes here, like a lot of like weird debris. There's buoys and things hanging.
Things that have come from the tides.
Yeah. Gadgets and gizmos aplenty. But as we go through this vegetation, we kind of have to go through this like bush or this tunnel here. And we come to the beach, and there are immediately a lot of rock formations to our right and a sea arch that's here. And we see some other people here, and this is where we kind of meander and sit and eat our lunch. And it's really cool down here. Like, immediately it's like, well, this was worth the, you know, just the hike down, like right here. Because again, we're not used to this sort of shoreline where either of us have grown up. This is very unique.
And it was gray this day. Mm-hmm. All of our beach hikes had gray weather. And it was gray and it was delicious and it was so edge of the world.
Yeah, yeah. We were able to meander a little bit further to the right here. And then kind of after we ate lunch, the clouds started to break up a little bit, but it became very misty. But this is when we're like, okay, well, this isn't the end for us. We have to hike all the way down the beach to the left.
Yeah.
And again, we had, the tide was out, so the beach was very wide here, which was perfect. As we start to hike, this is where we hit Tide Pool Wonderland.
Tide Pool Wonderland, indeed. Mm-hmm. And we hit this at the right time, completely coincidentally, on this day. And because the tide was out, it had left on all of these stones that are, you know, like emerging through the sand with like moss on them and algae on them. There's tons of starfish.
Different colored starfish.
And we're not talking about little tiny starfish. Orange, we're talking about big, fat, chubby starfish.
Chunky starfish.
All over the place. Yeah. And they are all these different colors. Purple, brown, orange. I mean, gorgeous.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where we were like looking and we thought we were only looking at rocks. And then we were like, oh my God, that's a starfish right there. And then suddenly, once like, our eyes kind of adjusted to the fact that like, there were starfish in all these rocks, then we saw all of There were so many more.
Yeah.
And so much more other sea life.
All other things.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. It was really, really cool. Again, this is not something we're used to. And so we spent a lot of time here. There were a lot of people that were right here, too, that have come down the beach or come down from the hike and kind of just made this like, oh, my God, look at this one. Look at this one. Because there were a lot of rocks that were just on the beach here exposed. And there were these hollows of water underneath them where you were having all this sea life in these little tide pools. And so this was really, really cool.
So we can see really far down at the other end that there are the sea stacks that people were talking about. And we're like, we're going to have to get there eventually. So we start to make our way down the beach a little bit more. Mm-hmm. The wind picks up here a little bit.
Yeah.
It's brisk as we are walking across the sand toward the sea stacks. It's funny, it's not often when you're hiking or thinking about hiking that you're in a place where you can literally see the end of the hike, know that that's the terminal point.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of like when you see the terminal point, it feels so, oh, that's the end. But really, we're kind of looking at like the bulk of this second
the rest
half
of, the hike.
Of this hike.
Yeah. The sand here was firm, so it was easy enough to walk on, so we weren't sinking in because everything is kind of wet and compact. We have to kind of meander our way down the beach, but again, oh, we know where we're going. There's no guessing. There's no blazes or trail markers here. We just have to be kind of conscious of the tide, but we were not as conscious this day of it, and we were fine, which was good. But do your homework on tides. You'll hear more about that. We do end up crossing like a pretty decent stream that's cutting down from the forest into the ocean, and then get closer and closer and eventually make our way to the sea stacks that are at the end and to all this landscape, which is incredible.
Incredible. Incredible landscape. And we just sort of walked through all of it, photographed it from so many different angles, and just sort of took in all of the different ways to see these sea stacks. Mm-hmm. Because oftentimes the sea stacks are like far out into the water, but these are like right up here on the beach.
Yeah. This is also like, as we're hiking out and as we're getting closer to the sea stacks, there are more people that have set up camp.
Yeah.
And have fires going further up the beach, like towards the forest. They obviously know where the tide is going to come in. There is a big kind of section at the end, and you can kind of continue to the left. You can keep going, but eventually it's sort of like we're going to have to turn back at some point. We walked a little bit further past what was the terminal point here at the sea stacks, but then knew that we would have to make our way back around. After we take all this in, we nosh a little bit here. We find a log and sit on it. We start to make our turnaround, and we are fighting the wind here.
Yeah.
So the wind was at our backs, really, mm-hmm. on the way down the beach, but now it is
in our faces. So we're making our way back toward the entry point to the beach, and while we're walking, I guess we missed this on the way out, but on the way back, we find this discarded Barbie.
Yeah.
Who is discarded Barbie? That's what I want to know.
Discarded Barbie. Who would play discarded Barbie in the Barbie film?
That's a better question. What does the package say about discarded Barbie?
Oh, God. That's a good question.
I feel like discarded Barbie has experienced trauma her whole life.
God. We went dark here. That's my job usually.
Well, when you see the photos of discarded Barbie, which will be shared, you'll see. Discarded Barbie is like,
she's lived a life.
Mm-hmm. She certainly has.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it was very interesting. I was like, oh, this is weird. I don't know why we didn't pick it up and take it. Like, I feel like we should have, but I also was there were lots of kids.
There were kids and camp. And we were like, I think this is one of their toys. So we just photographed it and left it
and
there.
Left it. Yeah. So as we are returning, we are getting closer and closer to kind of like Tidepool Wonderland. And we do realize as we're walking down the beach, the tide is starting to roll in.
And as tide starts to roll in, Mike's anxiety and neuroses also starts to roll in.
Oh, yeah.
Tides and I feel like your neuroses comes in and out like the tides.
Yep. It's controlled by the moon.
Literally.
Exactly.
So we're making our way down the beach real quick. Mm-hmm. No stopping.
Well, the tide pools are like, kind of basically underwater at this point again.
Right.
Like, we can see the rocks and we're like, we have to be close. And then we're like, oh, wait a minute. That's the rocks for the tide pools. We are very close now.
Yeah. And then we finally see the entry point.
And this is important to note. Beach hikes, at least here and later on Ozette Triangle, will have a marker for you to know where to exit the beach. It is a circular blaze that's divided in quadrants and is colored in black.
Super easy.
Super easy. Important to note that. Yeah.
So we get back to the switchbacks that we had to come down and we hoof it up.
Mm-hmm.
And it only takes us 3 minutes.
Right. We weren't looking forward to
it. But we were tired at the end of doing them. And then we also see some other members of the queer family on
this community.
The community. Uh-huh. We said hi.
Uh-huh.
Right? They were going out?
They were leaving. They had come up behind us.
Ah. And so we make our way back into the forest. We're hiking really quickly through this mud. And what's funny is we ran into the same people
who were at the tide pools.
Who were at the tide pools with us at this point in time. And as we're walking, we see a banana slug.
Yeah, this was our second sighting
of a banana slug. Yeah, they're super cool. And we found out a lot about banana slugs on this trip. And so be sure to listen to our trail mix on banana slugs.
We end up using the offshoot trails a lot here to kind of make our way back and kind of power back. Again, this was supposed to be our rest day. So, yeah. So I think we were also kind of at this point ready to do what we needed to do to get back. But we also knew that once we got back, because we were moving our location for our accommodations, we had quite a drive too, because Olympic is nothing but driving.
All driving.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to drive an hour and a half to Forks. All right, let's put these two hikes on the Karen Stone scale. Let's start with Cape Flattery.
Beautiful. Cape Flattery is a 3 for me. I think there is some consideration you have as far as slippery, as far as descent and trail changing grade, and even sort of conditions. So I would say it's a 3.
I'm also going to give it a 3. There are some routes that you have to think mm-hmm. about when you're hiking, the change of terrain.
Yeah.
It's not that long.
Yeah.
So yeah, 6 out of 20 Karen Stones.
Beautiful.
Or 3 out of 10 if we are reducing our fractions. Mm-hmm. And Shai Beach.
Shai Beach is...
I'm giving this
a 5 for
a
me.
5 as well.
Look at that.
Look
at Middle yeah. of the road. We must hike together or something
yeah,
often.
Yeah, 10 out of 20.
Yeah, I think that this is like a very good middle of the road hike.
It is not short. It's 9
no,
miles.
No.
I mean, it's like it's a healthy hike. This could be the only hike someone does in a day.
Sure.
You know?
I do think, mud aside, you have the hike in two different bursts, and then you have the switchback descent to kind of break that up. So I don't feel like the two different bursts were very challenging, but they are long. You do have the mud, and then you do have to descend and ascend. So I feel like a 5 feels
yeah.
warranted.
And also walking on sand and yeah. hiking on sand is a different terrain experience.
Absolutely.
It takes longer. It's using different parts of
muscle.
The body,
yeah.
different muscles. It's all that kind of stuff. And I loved doing it. But
yeah.
like, I don't know that I could do Shai Beach and Ozette Triangle in the same day
no.
and really be able to enjoy them.
No.
I'm glad that we can do them in different days.
Mm-hmm.
And now let's end this episode like we end all of our episodes with some Jeopardy-style trivia. Mike, why don't you get us started?
Great. So my Jeopardy today is inspired by the term Cape Flattery, or by the name Cape Flattery. And I have written a Jeopardy about courtship and
oh.
gifts that one might get while courting in olden times.
Oh, I see.
So you will need to tell me what flattering item you have received based off of the clue.
Oh,
and
look
perhaps
at that.
I'll be doing some accent work the entire time.
Oh, right. I look forward.
Wonderful. For 100. When trying to woo a mate, many gifts may come to the forefront of the mind, but in a courtship where one may feel that this great love is quite contagious, like that of a common cold, this gift may be given from a breast pocket or waved quite softly in a lady's hand before she dries her eyes or dabs her nose to alleviate the moisture from her face.
What is a handkerchief?
Correct.
Great.
For 200. While the fever of a relationship may seem hotter than the flames of the 9 circles of hell themselves, this most widely read religious text may be given as a symbol of purity and honesty and honest intentions in the relationship as it develops.
What is the Bible?
Correct. For 300. The fashionable maiden may find herself outmatched by the charm and dress of her foppish groom-to-be. In order to stay in step with his style, a pair of these may be procured and offered as a way to not only keep the extremities warm, but to draw attention to any of the fashionable embroidery along the cuff.
Oh, what are bracelets or rings?
If you wanted to keep your extremities warm, what might you don in the wintertime?
A coat? A jacket?
Your extremities would be
oh,
your digits.
Gloves.
Gloves is right. Jolly good show. For 400. While a nursery rhyme which decried the Black Death and offered a way around it may include this term for a flower, the same term was used for a type of ring, oft given as a sign of courtship and loyalty, which often had a short poem enameled on the inside or outside of it.
What is a wedding band? Or
I'm looking for
a stone?
A flower of a nursery rhyme.
A flower of a posy.
Correct.
Oh, look at
that. Decrying the Black Death and winning love over.
Mm-hmm.
And for 500, one way to stay close to the heart of your betrothed was to give them a locket, oftentimes filled with this bit of DNA that could be a reminder of their personage, even if they were quite far away.
What is blood?
No, how dark.
It was dark. You said DNA.
Yes, what else might one give?
A piece of skin.
Oh my God.
I don't know.
What is something I no longer have on my head, but you have on yours?
Oh, is it hair?
It is. And that is Cape Flattery.
Well, listen, I mean, Angelina Jolie and her brother had vials of their blood around their necks.
That's true, they did.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, are you ready for my category?
I am, thank you.
My category is inspired by discarded Barbie.
Oh.
So I have created 5 new Barbies that don't exist.
Great.
But could exist because Barbie can be anything.
She can.
And be anyone. And so you just have to name the Barbie.
Great.
Ready? For 100, this Barbie is going to make sure those kids get across the street to school. She's going to hold up her sign and do what she does best, stop traffic.
She's going
to
work.
To make sure that those kids are safe. She comes with a bright yellow vest, a whistle, and a handheld stop sign.
Who is Crossing Guard Barbie?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I don't think you would be Crossing Guard Barbie. You would be Hall Monitor Barbie.
Oh, honey. I already am Hall Monitor Barbie.
For 200. This Barbie doesn't like loud sounds or too many bright lights. She can be seen sitting in a dark room in the quiet away from the loud noise. She likes it quiet and calm. She comes with an essential oil diffuser and a pair of noise-canceling headphones.
Who is sensory deprivation Barbie?
I like that. Or who is overstimulated Barbie?
Okay.
We could do that too. For 300, this Barbie can take you anywhere in her Barbie car. Just open up your app and let her know you need a ride. And she'll be there to pick you up quickly and efficiently. Just make sure you give her a 5-star rating at the end. This Barbie comes with an unopened bottle of water and an album by Aqua to play in the car.
Who is Uber Barbie?
It could be Uber Barbie.
Or Lyft Barbie?
Rideshare Barbie.
Rideshare Barbie, okay.
Great. For 400, this Barbie loves to cook. I said cook.
You did. Skewel.
Skewel. This Barbie loves to cook, especially outside. She knows exactly how to prepare chicken, ribs, and more on the grill. Just join her for some fun. Join her for a fun summer cookout and enjoy the feast. She comes with a bag of grill tools and an apron.
Who is Grillmaster Barbie?
We could say that. Or who is Barbecue Barbie?
Barbecue Barbie.
And finally, for 500, this Barbie wants to know everything and look everywhere around your house, that is. These prospective buyers aren't going to think about closing on this house without her coming in, going in every room, and looking at every nook and cranny. She comes with a clipboard, a tape measure, and a flashlight.
Who is Escrow Barbie?
That's great. Or
who is Home Inspector Barbie?
That's right, Home Inspector Barbie.
Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at gazeatthenationalparks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.